We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
Hey, Hub, I got a pretty simple question for you. Is Leonard Fournette still an elite NFL running back?
You know, Rob, he never was.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Breaking down the latest on the Bears and news from around the NFL.
When will the Bears give Allen Robinson his contract extension?
It's a puzzle to me. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
Time to talk to Hub, and we're loading up some phone calls for him as well at 312-644-6767. Hub Arkish at Hub underscore Arkish. He is part of the WSCR Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com and the WSCR Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank. Hub, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Hub's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park.
Hub, I was reminded of a conversation you and I had on Sports Talk Live, and it was probably January or maybe February. Things got a little crazy after March, as we know. But it was right after all of the new assignments were given and the hires were made by the Bears on the offensive side, and they had the huge assistant turnover. And I bring it up because of the question being asked about Matt Nagy and the play-calling duties right now. When I talked to you about that, you and I had discussed the idea of who was coming in as far as philosophy and how it was going to jive with what Nagy was doing. Dan and I were talking about discourse earlier today on the show, and I think you had a really good point. Do you remember that conversation and the nature of why we discussed it and what we said?
I remember talking about it. I can't honestly recall everything that went into it, though, no.
Part of it for me was, I feel like I'm in a court of law when I'm asking you that question, but that's not really it. Part of it for me was just the idea of you saying that you felt like, at least at the time, that Nagy had a lot of people in the room with him who were similarly aligned, that they were going to be inclined to agree with him after who all they brought in. How do you feel about that now? And does it color how you view what happens in the future with this play calling discussion and the storyline that's developed?
Well, you know, Layla, it's a great point. I don't know if it's problematic right now or not, but clearly what Matt had after 2 years was a guy in Mark Hilfrich who he didn't know at all when he hired him. And we don't know, you know, exactly what Mark Helfrich's input was while he was here or how much control, if any, he had of the offense. He had Harry Hiestand, who he'd never worked before, but was as highly recommended as anybody you were going to find. And he had a young tight end coach in Kevin Gilbride, who he hadn't worked with before. So what he did was he went out and got, you know, old allies. And in Bill Lazor, who was steeped in this offensive scheme, Juan Castillo, who he worked with for years in Philadelphia. And while Clancy Barone and he hadn't necessarily worked together, again, a very veteran tight end coach. And I assumed that was to help him teach this system. And so that in itself is not a bad thing. Now, I wasn't suggesting at the time that he brought in, yes men or people just because he thought they were going to agree with him. Mm-hmm. But I think now that you see what's happening, that could be a concern. You know, when we talked to Matt yesterday and he's asked if he's going to make a change, and his answer is, you know, we discuss that all the time and what we think. Doesn't matter what we think. It matters right now what Matt Nagy thinks. You know, does he need to get a different voice on the sidelines? Does he need to have a different eye comprising the game plan for Sunday? Does he need to take a step back for this offense? I don't think the issue, guys, is that the offense doesn't or can't work. I don't think the issue is that Matt Nagy is a bad coach or a bad play caller. He doesn't have the personnel to execute this scheme the way he's trying to execute it. And so you adjust and you find things that you can do with them. And that's where they're being stubborn in two fronts. He's not letting somebody else give him a different vision of it. And he's not trying anything different right now, as near as we can tell.
That raises the question then, if not now, when? What would they need to see? And he said, we talk about that all the time. Okay, well, what's the threshold? What would trigger, you know, somebody else has the card today? Because his mentor in Andy Reid did it all the time. And he would empower people. He'd say, well, let's see how it looks when you have the card. Why don't you call plays today? It just seems that maybe his professional identity is more wrapped up in having that control than that of others.
You know, I think the answer to that, Dad, is if not now, when, was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So you're reaching kind of crisis point right now, and you have a cushion. You have a 5-2 record. You're in a great spot to do the things. And this is when, by the way, when Reed did it, it worked each time. They rebounded and went to the playoffs, you know. So, you know, you have that experience. And so this is where you raise the question. I think the problem is that we tend to assume we know these guys and we know what they're thinking. Matt is a really engaging guy. I really like him. I like him a lot. And I think he is a good football coach. And I think if he does the right things, he's going to be very successful. But none of us are perfect, you know. And knowing your faults and your weaknesses is a lot more important than knowing your strengths. And it feels, and this is just a feeling I get, because, again, we're not close. I don't know how to read Matt Nagy. But the feeling I get is that he's just being unimaginably stubborn, you know, and hopefully they'll straighten that out. They'll figure that out. Now, if he doesn't have anybody in that room who he thinks can give him the you know, objective, unbiased view, then that's a problem. But I think Dave Ragone is a guy who can, because Rags is a guy who he kept around, a guy who didn't come from this system, but who has now worked with Nagy for 2.5 years. Remember, there was the one play calling experiment at the end of the exhibition season last year where we had Rags call some plays. But to me, guys, I'm not as concerned about the play calling as I am about the game plan. I'm worried about what they're going into these games with and what's available to them. Because, you know, I keep going back to that 4th-and-1 play. And the design of that play was so inappropriate for that situation. And I don't know, do they think that that's a good play in 4th-and-1? Now, they had used the same play with success on 4th-and-1 twice before in different games. But these are the kind of things where you got to really start to dig a lot deeper. It's not just as simple as picking the right number off the play sheet on the sideline during the game.
Hub, we're getting some interference on your line, and so we're going to put you on hold right now and see if we can knock that and clean up the line a little bit right now. But there are, you know, as we discussed before, it's one thing. I guess I don't believe them when they say they're always talking about the possibility of somebody else calling plays. You know, that just rings hollow to me. That sounds like something a coach just kind of says when he says, yeah, that's something we always talk about. I don't really think they do. Because if they do, I don't know how they draw the conclusions they do that everything's fine. And we bring Hub back on, that Matt Nagy, the head coach, can make that decision and say, look, I need to fix this, and I need to change the play caller as the head coach. Mm-hmm. Yet he seems it's so much more important for him to embrace his role as coordinator than it is embrace his role as the chief executive.
Actually, my column is up right now at ShawLocal.com from yesterday and last night, and I believe one of the lines in it is that Matt Nagy at this stage of his career is a successful head coach with a chance to be a very good head coach, but he's a failure as an offensive coordinator in Chicago. And you know, it's not complicated. He has a guy with tons of experience in Bill Lazor, and you know, my attitude is I don't understand why he wouldn't want to take a step back and give him a chance, because he constantly refers to his mentorship from Andy Reid, and he knows that Andy Reid did it with Doug Peterson and then did it again with him. And so this is the great mystery to me. This is, I don't understand what they're struggling with. Now, you know, the other issue that I raised, and this, Layla, I don't remember if we talked about this in that conversation or not either.
I'll attempt to remember myself.
Well, I mean, in the three changes that he made, he brought in three people who were out of the NFL last year. Now, they're all veteran coaches, and they do have, you know, good things on their resumes, but that troubled me a little bit too. You know, I mean, Lazor was working as an analyst at Penn State. You know, Juan Castillo was working as an analyst at Michigan. I think Barone took the year off. Again, it doesn't have to be a negative, but it is a little confusing to me, as to, it suggests that he clearly went and got three guys that were going to be married to him for his purposes. And I don't know, you know, maybe somebody just needs to stand up in the room and bang on the table. We don't know what's happening, you know, inside the walls at Hallis Hall right now.
Yeah, and I think you also bring up a good point regarding the situation as a whole, because we don't know if some plays were already being called by certain individuals anyway. Everybody makes a big deal about the first 15 or so plays scripted of an offense. We talk about that a lot, but how the individual responsibilities may happen vis-a-vis a game plan, it's merely speculation on our parts as to whether or not all the plays, some of the plays, none of the plays are being called by certain people.
Yeah, I think Matt has a pretty... well, I don't know. You know, from talking to him, he certainly indicates to us that no, he is completely responsible for the play calling,
right?
And that he thinks that continues to be the way to go. I think that in terms of the communication on the field, I believe the only mic open to that green dot is Matt's. Mm-hmm. Now, I can check on that. I guess that would be an interesting question to ask, is when that is going on. But I'm pretty sure it's one-on-one between Nagy. You know, it's interesting. I don't know how his coaches communicate with him when he's on that headset to the players with the green dot. We do know that it's Chuck Pagano who's in communication with Roquan Smith on the other side of the ball. So, you know, I guess it would be interesting just to learn exactly what the technicalities of that are.
Ready for your people, Hub?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's start with Don on the west side on the score. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, people. I just wanted to say, start out first and foremost, yeah, I agree with you, Hub, when you say it seems a lot of stubbornness with Matt. You know, I love him. You know, he's a great coach, but we got to talk about his flaws. I'm going to make a comment, then I'm going to get to the question. But, okay, so the tempo, when they're trying to go hurry up, when they got teams against the wall, like how St. Louis did our defense all game, you know, he calls timeout. He wants to stop it. He wants to call his play. And every time he did it, it was either a turnover, sack, or whatever, a punt, whatever. You know, I'm kind of like, that's irritating. You can't have Patrick Mahomes or quarterback, you'll get into it with him all the time. You're not going to call a timeout on Aaron Rodgers, so a good quarterback when they're in rhythm. Secondly, I just wanted to state, like, okay, we got down on Mitch and how bad he's been and how bad he's looked. How much of that is because of the stubbornness of the play calling of Matt Nagy?
Go ahead, Hub.
Well, Don, yeah, first of all, in the hurry up, just because you're in no huddle doesn't mean the quarterback is calling the plays. Again, they do have those mics open until the play clock runs down to 15 seconds, and there's varying versions of hurry up. When you're literally in the 2 minute, you're snapping the ball with 20, 25 seconds still on the clock. But a lot of what they're doing in no huddle is getting to the line, looking around. There's still time for the coach and the quarterback to talk. And specifically with those two timeouts when they were running no huddle Monday night, Matt explained yesterday that first timeout was because they had the wrong personnel on the field for the play that was called. And he did that to try and prevent a turnover. And that is a very reasonable explanation. You know, as far as the rest of it, I just think that they're trying to run plays, quite frankly, that they don't have the personnel to execute. And I think that what you have to do is accept, okay, our offensive line isn't good enough to do this right now. And I think Matt basically acknowledged that in his comments yesterday, then stop some of the outside zone read stuff that you're doing where you're not getting the cutoff blocks. Stop, some of the 5-7 step drops that you're trying to take because you want Nick Foles to take shots down the field because that's why you prefer him over Mitch Trubisky. And maybe think real hard, again, not to start a quarterback controversy, not to suggest it's unfair, not to suggest that Mitch needs another chance. But Mitch's athleticism gives them a big extra weapon when the offensive line isn't able to do its job. And again, you're 5-2. Think about that. Take a look. Don't salvage too many games before you try and save this thing.
NIU Dave is next with Hub on the Score. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no talk, Bernsey. By the way, Bernsey, your costume looks a lot more like Hub Arkush. I don't know if you thought about that or not, but the blazer, the mustache, the glasses... I'm just saying.
The extra 50 pounds, don't bet on it.
Hub, I want to talk about the most frustrating thing for me, anyway, watching NFL football is the way the roughing the passer calls are made in the NFL. I was watching the Red Zone channel this weekend, and the Atlanta-Detroit game, there was a call against Atlanta for roughing the passer on Matt Stafford, and to me it looked like a regular hit. The NFL Network switched away, Red Zone Channel switched away really quick before they could, the color analyst could say anything about it. But an hour later, Andy Dalton almost gets killed in the Washington game by Bostic. And the NFL does not suspend Bostic for that hit, which was crazy. I want to know, how is the NFL looking at these roughing the passer penalties? And in your opinion, do you think it's not called consistently enough? Do you think it's called too often?
Well, Dan, first of all, I do think it's a very tough call to make because it is a straight judgment call. And the NFL has made it far more difficult by creating these gray areas of it's different on the quarterback than it is on everybody else. Our buddy Eric Edholm over at Yahoo had a fascinating tweet the other day. I wasn't really aware of it. I guess you just got to see how many flags are coming out. But Akeem Hicks has 17% of the accepted penalties on the Chicago Bears and is far and away right now the most penalized person in the NFL. Of the four flags on him Sunday, I thought the only one that was even close to justified was the jumping on the pile. And the jumping on the pile wouldn't have happened on that 12-yard Malcolm Brown run if they'd blown the whistle two or three times when he was stopped two or three times before they let him. And I know, I'm not defending the Bears. You can't let that happen. It was lousy defense. But the fact is, when forward motion is stopped, it's supposed to stop. You know, the play is supposed to stop. They let it keep going. And so Hicks ends up jumping on the pile. That was a justified flag. The other three were all bogus calls, you know. And then you have the helmet-to-helmet hit on Allen Robinson where you force him off the field because you saw it, and he's saying, I'm fine, but you don't throw a flag on it. Some of it just makes absolutely no sense. The NFL is trying to protect these players. They've put them in greater danger by removing any consistency in these calls. And I think part of what's happening this year, I don't know what you guys, Dan and Layla, would think about this, but I think the officiating is clearly worse. But I think one of the reasons may be because everybody's so distracted by dealing with all the COVID protocols and all the extra issues it's created for them and everything else that's going on around the game. Maybe it's not getting enough attention. The NFL officials are the best in the world at what they do, but there's got to be something that can be done to improve this a little bit more, because both the roughing calls and the pass interference calls are ludicrous at this point. There's just no way to tell what the rule is when you watch some of these games.
Here is Frank in Oak Park with Hub on the Score.
Hub, the Bears don't have the O-line talent to run this system, and you're talking about that. But the system won't change. Getting Nagy to schedule running plays that don't expose the bad players on this line is probably like asking Mike Marks of an early regime to keep an extra guy in to block against a red dog and keep Jay Cutler from getting his kidneys knocked into his throat. They just aren't wired that way. There's no magic bomb you can rub on minus great offensive linemen that'll suddenly make them competent, especially veterans. You can only scheme to try and minimize the negative plays they cause. Assuming Ant Daniels recovers from his ripped pec and this ankle injury Whitehair has is not a surgical issue, it seems the biggest offensive need this offseason is an upgrade or upgrades at tackle. Given that few quality tackles ever reach free agency, doesn't this become 2021's top draft priority?
Yeah, Frank, I don't think there's any question about that. This will be the first time in 3 years that they've had both a first and second round pick. They may even be able to maneuver to create some multiple, you know, day one, day two picks. Generally, with a franchise type left tackle, they've got to come in the top 15, top 20 in the draft. Not always, but that's kind of been the rule of thumb. But they need quantity as well. And I'm not necessarily set on the interior of the line either. I think, you know, you got to get James. This is another, guys, we've been talking about this for 2.5 years now. I still don't understand why James Daniels isn't at center and you don't have Cody White at guard. Both would be better at those
positions. Because we saw it last year and they had to switch back.
But there were other, you know, extenuating circumstances, which part of, you know, they said at the time that the reason for that switch, Dan, wasn't because of their play. It was because of the communication on the line, because Kyle Long went down and they needed somebody to help Rashad Coward with the calls, and that they needed to get Cody White here next to him. That was the explanation we were given. That's not something we're just assuming or making up. They also have said now because of his length, they like James Daniels, but because of his much larger and stronger lower torso, that's the greatest asset for a center. And the part I have to add is, and I don't want to throw it on him, I've been saying this all along, but when I can get somebody like Olin Krutz, who knows a little bit about it, to completely agree with me, I feel a lot better in this analysis. And so I think that would be a great start. I think Jermaine Ifedi is okay, you know, if you're really good around him. And I think Bobby Massey has been underrated. He's at least been average, but they've got to get quality at left tackle. They probably need to upgrade right tackle as well. And one more guard in the mix wouldn't hurt. So the answer to Frank's question is yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind using all their picks next year on the offensive line, because watching this just absolutely sucks. Hub, thank you as always, and continued good health, man.
All right, guys, take care.
That is Hub Arkish. You can hear him every weekend on the WSCR Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com and the Prop Swap postgame show presented by PNC Bank. Paul Charchian makes you happier and wealthier and wiser on your fantasy waiver wire next on The Score.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Chief Execution Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com.
He's appointing himself Judge, Jury, and Executioner.
He's not Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
He is.
Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Paul Charchian brought to you by Burlington. Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices and no coupons needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to Burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And check him out on Twitch. It is twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And Charge, just to explain, this is our Halloween broadcast, our in-studio day, so we have Hockey Bunny on the one hand, and I am Stan Van Gundy. So if you see me trying to scribble side out of bounds plays or complaining about the quality of our defense right now, you'll understand why I'm in the state that I am. How are you doing?
Did we lose Charge?
Apparently so. We had him up. And now we don't have him.
Did our costume scare Charge off? Was he like, I quit?
I think that may be the case, that he was there and then not there. So we will begin by making sure that every Chicago Bear on your fantasy team is now hereby excised from your fantasy team. Because even if Darnell Mooney has ascended to that number two receiver spot, usually, right, it would be tempting to think, okay, there's a bunch of targets and touchdowns in the future for him. And watching how fast he can run and how he had a near 90-something yard touchdown at that point. But I wouldn't trust any skill position player on this offense now.
Any?
Not really. I'm no fantasy expert, but how do you look at this and say, I can start have an active Chicago Bear when they did that to him, unless you're just counting on dead cat bounce against a mediocre defense with New Orleans?
I still think Mooney could come through. This is a hectic stretch of games, though.
Yeah, there's just no rhyme or reason to it. It's hard to trust anything in the Bears' offense. It's hard.
I feel like, but two, like, say Allen Robinson makes two more catches. You like your numbers.
Yeah, I guess. But if you're counting garbage time numbers, and we know garbage time numbers count, that's the weird thing about fantasy, is that's where it sometimes divorces from football and from actual football analysis, is if you count on a team that maybe they'll be trailing and then they've got to throw and there's all sorts of empty calories, the fantasy stats don't care how empty the calories are. All they care is how many points you're rolling up. Let's bring in Charge on the phone on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Charge, how you doing?
I'm good. The Lucy app hates me, is what I've kind of decided at this point.
Aww.
Two straight weeks where we've had trouble with it. And I've been so good to the Lucy app. I don't deserve this.
So first, let's get the Bears thing out of the way. I just brought up that I would be making sure that I have no Chicago Bears playing for me, because what we saw from the state of this offensive line and this offense, unless you're just hoping for garbage time, empty calories.
Yeah, Allen Robinson's the sure thing. But, you know, if I were in your shoes, if I were the Bears, I think there's still a move left that salvages your season and gives you reason for hope. Tell me if you're with me on this. This is not fantasy. This is real life football. Your team's going to the playoffs in all probability. Your defense is good enough to win any playoff game and even a Super Bowl. Can we mostly agree with that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're stuck at quarterback unless you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick, which probably isn't going to happen. So what can the Bears do to win three or four playoff games with Nick Foles or Sad Trombonski or whatever you decide to do? You got to dominate time of possession. You got to win low scoring games and only ask your quarterback to make a handful of plays each game. But you can't dominate time of possession with David Montgomery. He's just not good enough to help you extend plays, gets first downs. I think this team, if there's one move to make, I think you should go get a real running back, somebody who can move chains, get tough yards, pick up a third and one or a third and two, extend plays, mitigate what your offensive line doesn't give you by winning some one-on-one defensive matchups. And their running backs are a cheap commodity. You can get these guys without having to mortgage really anything meaningful in the future. So to me, that's the one move. And I'll even put a name on that. Mark Ingram from Baltimore. Because J.K. Dobbins is their future workhorse, second-round pick. Gus Edwards, a capable backup. They don't need three running backs. The money works. He's only got $2 million left on his deal for this year. And if he's a good fit, he's reasonably priced for next year at $5 million. You could, you know, roll into him with him as your starter next year if you wanted. I think that's a workable scenario to give the Bears hope to do something in the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, I think that they brought in Lamar Miller and adding him to the practice squad, thinking there might be something there. I don't think there's anything there. And they also have kid Artavis Pierce, the Oregon State running back, who some people still say has some possibility to him. I don't know.
Even for the locker room, I love it, though. Woot, woot, in the words of Mark Ingram. That's all I'm trying to say.
He's a hype man.
He's a good room guy.
I also don't know behind this offensive line if anybody's going to be any good. I mean, they're sitting on Montgomery the moment he touches the ball, and he's forced to use every bit of his tackle breaking and his evasiveness and his countermeasures the moment he gets the ball. So it's going to be awful tough even for Ingram.
Good running backs will make your offensive line look better than it is. You know, and I think that he can do at least some of that. I just think you're languishing behind probably the 32nd best starting running back in the NFL, and Montgomery just isn't that, and the rest of the roster has no chance. So I don't know. To me, that just seems like a plausible move that can get you back to relevancy, and especially in the playoffs, and help you just move chains, get first downs, extend plays, and give you a chance. There you go.
All right, let's get to some names here. You mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick, and now that Tua Tagovailoa has been promoted and makes his debut on Sunday, does this mean that Fitzpatrick finds his way to a different team?
I would like to think so, and the Cowboys make even more sense than Chicago probably does. They're really in a bind, but no move on that front whatsoever. Still, I'm keeping Ryan Fitzpatrick roster on my team in the event that he does find himself in a better scenario in the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. So I don't think you should drop him. He was a top 10 fantasy quarterback for the Dolphins. What would he be like in Chicago throwing to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Ezekiel Elliott out of the backfield? He would go right back to being that kind of guy. So I think he deserves to be on rosters. You know, for Tua, Tagovailoa, it's a little bit trickier to expect him to be fantasy relevant in his first ever handful of games. So I'm not rostering him, but we are with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of regional college football respect and hope there in Florida with the Bama fans. And to, as far as wide receivers are concerned, first of all, I think Nelson Agholor, except to Philly fans, has been a pleasant surprise. Rashard Higgins also replacing OBJ. Then you've got, speaking of the Eagles, Jalen Reagor back from his thumb injury. Can you go over those three wideouts and what they're bringing to the table?
Yeah, this whole Nelson Agholor thing is killing Eagles fans because they give up on the guy because he was producing so little and they needed him so badly for so long with all the injuries and everything, and he does nothing. He makes a totally anonymous move to the Raiders in Las Vegas, and all he's done is be great. He's the only receiver in the NFL who has a perfect quarterback rating on passes thrown his way.
That's amazing.
That's Nelson Agholor right now. Go figure.
He used to be a drop machine.
I know. Remember? None this year. He's been fantastic. And Derek Carr, God bless him. I mean, he's turned his season around. He's throwing downfield, something he never used to do, and with accuracy. They're stretching the field with Ruggs. They're hitting Agholor underneath. It's worked out very well there. So Nelson Agholor belongs on rosters. You mentioned Jalen Reagor back from his thumb injury for Philadelphia. Any warm body for the Eagles is somebody you have to consider. And God love Carson Wentz for everything he's trying to single-handedly do without any capable receivers on that team, missing his tight ends. And Reagor walks in. We saw Reagor in week one, the last time he was healthy, and he caught a long bomb in week one. And, you know, at the rate of all these rookie receivers, they're all hitting. So, you know, it's a little bit of a longer-term play, but I think Reagor belongs on rosters, too.
Meanwhile, their tight end. Also, you mentioned any warm body. I guess Richard Rodgers would fill that description as well. And I'm laughing because here the news today. The Dolphins are signing Adam Shaheen to a 2-year contract extension with a max value of nearly $8 million. And maybe at the top of the tight end list is Trey Burton on the Colts.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, it all comes. Every tight end eventually has to come through Chicago, and generally do better once they leave Chicago. You know, Burton has looked really good for the Colts, and we know Philip Rivers loves to use his tight ends. Always did it right. First Gates, then Hunter Henry, and Trey Burton's been really good, getting a ton of work with Mo Alie-Cox out, and that probably continues here. So Trey Burton belongs on rosters. Adam Shaheen scoring out of the blue last week, which it was shocking, and they've got a good tight end. They got Mike Gesicki, who they're not using, which is weird that they're making that move. But you also mentioned Richard Rodgers. He's the Philadelphia tight end who's going to be a month-long fill-in for Zach Ertz. Dallas Goedert probably comes back in a couple of weeks. But Richard Rodgers is a plausible guy to pick up and start this week and probably for the next couple.
Real quick, let's run down the running back possibilities in the waiver wire.
LaMichael Perine is your probable starting running back for the Jets. He got three times as many snaps as Frank Gore did last week. You could pick him up. Jamichael Hasty, part of the only really two running backs left standing for San Francisco. And anybody who seems to run behind San Francisco's offense, he generally does pretty well. He should be picked up as well, Jamichael Hasty. Carlos Hyde might get a start in case Chris Carson misses a game. And then Gus Edwards in case Mark Ingram ends up missing a game, which is possible that he may miss this one.
Church. Thank you. Appreciate it. Look forward to hearing you Thursday afternoon.
It's been fun. And if this whole Mark Ingram thing actually happens, save the tape.
Indeed, we will.
Love
thanks,
it.
Charch.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian. When we come back, I want to get the latest on the Big Ten, because if you're just joining us, it was announced earlier today, Wisconsin has 12 positive COVID cases, including their head coach, Paul Chryst. The game against Nebraska has been canceled. And there's an Illini side to this as well, because they just played, waiting for some information to come out from there as well. So we'll reset that for you in a moment on the Score. So apparently, the latest from the mess of the Big Ten situation is that Illinois, is according to Lovie Smith, is not reporting any positives. So that's a good sign, obviously. But who knows at this point? Who knows how long you have to wait? Because Lovie Smith, according to Shannon Ryan, Lovie Smith said no positives this week after playing Wisconsin. Illinois plays Purdue The Badgers with an outbreak have canceled their game against Nebraska. Now, isn't Purdue also coming off of, I mean, I thought Jeff Brohm had he himself was positive. I don't know how many cases they actually had. But this is not good, and now you run out of slack in the schedule to plan some of these games and to put them elsewhere. But if you're just joining us, 12 positives on Wisconsin for now.
Hi, yes. I also have some breaking news. We have a Woj bomb.
Yes.
Process lives in Philly. The Philadelphia 76ers are in advanced talks on a deal to hire Daryl Morey to oversee the franchise's basketball aspirations.
How about that? They needed it too. They needed somebody who actually has done this before to come in there and look at that massive pile of talent and sort it out and figure out who stays and who goes, because they had seemed so directionless. That's fascinating.
Clap your hands. 10-9-8-7 Sixers. I love a good Woj bomb on a day where I'm working.
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. She's Leila Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. That's what we do on Wednesdays. She comes and hangs out, not always in costume, and I don't always look like this either, and I don't. This is actually a blanket, so.
Yeah. People just are assuming this is like part of you.
No.
It's not.
No, trust me. There may be some COVID weight, but it's not. I'm not a member of the I'm Fat podcast quite yet. We're going to talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!